This is Congressman Bob Dole with my weekly radio report from Washington. First of all, let me thank this station for carrying my weekly program as a public service broadcast. I thought perhaps today we might visit very briefly and on our five-minute program about two things. First of all, what is the red strength in Cuba? There have been many estimates made, but based on reports from the U.S. government itself, representatives of foreign governments who maintain embassies in Havana, and various Cuban underground agencies, we are told that these figures may be approximately correct. At least 18,700, perhaps as many as 40,000 troops, missiles, 40 to 46 weapons capable of carrying nuclear warheads to the United States. This is according to a report by Representative Donald Bruce of Indiana, and I think perhaps, in fact, I'm certain he had good basis for it. Planes, the best estimates are that they have around 184 MiG fighters, all capable of carrying nuclear warheads, and also that they have 37 Soviet transport planes, 83 Soviet helicopters, and an estimated number of IL-28 bombers in underground revetments, and at least two U-2-type reconnaissance craft. We're also told that they have from 12 to 15 submarines, which operate from at least four Soviet-built bases, maybe 260, between 260 and 600 tanks, the latest Soviet models, nine patrol boats with launchers for nuclear warheads, 23 other personnel carriers, more than 200 with artillery and guns, more than 2,000 pieces of ground artillery, thousands of rocket launchers, and over 2,000 anti-aircraft gun and some 3,000 mortars. So I think this gives us some idea, based on the best estimates, and there's no controversy about these. They may be one way or the other, but these are the best estimates available. And I point this out to the listener, so that you may know that there is red strength in Cuba. And we talk about containment or appeasement or delaying negotiations day by day by day, as we've done for the last 2 years. I think it's high time that we take a cold, hard look at what's going on in Cuba, what the buildup is, and what could possibly happen. We've had many, many people come forth with solutions. And frankly, I feel that one of the best solutions would be to recognize a government in exile and do what we can to restore freedom to Cuba for the Cubans. We certainly cannot support all the Cubans in this country. And I think our most practical and the best way to ensure freedom of the Cuban people is to make it possible for these people to take part in this themselves. I want to visit very briefly, too, about a matter that was called to my attention several months ago and one which we've been following very closely. As you know, last year, the administration inaugurated a premium for sedimentation value in wheat. This ranged from 3 to 24 cents per bushel. And, of course, in many cases, was very beneficial, and many farmers profited from it. This was done, however, without any real historical basis and without any, or little if any, study on what effect the storage of wheat had on the sedimentation value of wheat. In other words, whether the sedimentation value went up or down during long periods of storage. Now, based on wheat that was harvested last year, we're now finding that there are drops ranging from 8 to 10 points in recent sedimentation tests. And what does this mean? It means that this is an equivalent of 8 to 10 cents per bushel. And, of course, the farmer who has been paid the premium, who now takes his farm-stored wheat into the elevator and finds that his sedimentation value has dropped, must refund the difference. And of course, in many cases, I pointed out in my news release recently, a farmer's already paid income tax on this income he received last year, and he'll have to make some adjustment there. My reason for pointing this out now is that, as you know, government loans on wheat under price support mature on March 31st, and I merely suggest to the farmer that if you think there's any question about your farm-stored wheat, about the sedimentation value, or whether you're not certain at all, I would suggest you have it retested. And, of course, if you find a great drop in the sedimentation value, depending upon the cash price in your area, it might be to your advantage from a dollar and cent standpoint to redeem your loan and sell the wheat on the cash market. And this would be particularly true, of course, where you had a high protein content. But my point again is that the farmer should be aware of this before March 31st and should take whatever steps he may feel is necessary. In some cases, it may be fine, but in other cases, he may find that the sedimentation value has dropped. Thanks for listening. This is Bob Dole in Washington.